Okay, well, I'm going to start out by a quick word of prayer. I'm going to be continuing my study in 2 Timothy, talking about chapter 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, this would be 2:1. It's kind of become one of my favorite subjects. It seems to be the most fitting for the times in which we live. With this kind of starts out with this idea: this perilous time shall come. Then I do feel like that's where we are with just the way the things are operating in the world at present. I do have some hope that the Lord is continuing to guide and direct our lives. And I do believe that Timothy and the Apostle Paul were definitely in step with one another, and that they are going to persevere and to continue to have faith and not be discouraged by everything the world seems to be throwing at us. So with that, we'll just say a quick prayer and we'll get started. Our Heavenly God and Father, would you come into your presence one more time? Would you thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share your word? We ask the Lord that what we share tonight might be just a message that would give us some hope and some promise, and knowing that God is in charge, and the Lord Jesus Christ will will work with us and continue to guide and direct in our lives. So with that, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 1, excuse me, it says, "Thou therefore, my son," that is Timothy stating that he is Paul's son, that Paul adopted him. And it was a sonship adoption, but we know that that was Timothy was going to be continuing on in the ministry in similar ways that the Apostle Paul is and has been doing. He goes on to say, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Obviously, the Lord Christ Jesus is our God, and we know that the Apostle Paul was given a message to share with others, and there was also going to be some suffering that Paul was going to have to endure, and we believe that Timothy also will experience some things that would not be pleasant for body members to endure, but they were both chosen to be part of our hope and calling, and therefore part of what the Lord is asking them to do is to fill up the sufferings of Christ that the Lord actually, before He was able to completely share the mysterion truth, they were going to be speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to help others to endure some of the same hardships that the Apostle Paul has been doing. So he goes on to say, "Be strong in grace," and everything that Paul's going through, just like the Lord Jesus Christ went through, was done in grace. And we know that the Lord Christ Jesus was a spokesman for God the Father, and that he was willing to endure whatever it took to get the message out. So it says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, that's the Apostle Paul speaking, but we also know that prior to the Lord being resurrected and returning back to the heavens, that he had a message that he needed to share with Paul and with Timothy and with there was a few other saints that were participating in this same hope and calling, and were sharing the truth. So he says that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We each have to determine that the one that the Lord has used the most, which was the Apostle Paul as an apostle, that was part of their job, was to encourage others, and for these people to be deemed faithful. Faithful, I think, has two ideas. The idea of being full of faith, and that's through the witness of the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. And it also says that they are willing to pay the price to endure. It goes on to say, you know, I already said that they were qualified. They were faithful men. It is also stated that the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So this being, somebody might have a desire to be a teacher, but they may or may not be qualified. Well, I think the Lord ended up using Paul to make sure they understood, those saints that were with him and enduring some of the same hardships, are going to remain faithful and are going to remain good listeners, and then people who are willing to pay the price to do what's ever necessary to get the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ started and talked about. It wasn't talked about it much before the Acts 28 period and before the resurrection of the Lord. There was lots of truths that were taught by the Lord, and he had chosen others to help him in this work, and these men were willing to do what was ever necessary to be able to do that work. It says in verse 3, now therefore endure hardness. I don't know how many of you were in the military, but this part of being a soldier is that you're not at home, whatever your country might be, or that you may be cast in prison, as Paul was. And it wasn't for anything he did that was wrong. It was rather what he was doing that was right. He was sharing the truth with those others. And so you can be a soldier, a good soldier in the Lord's army. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that's one of the requirements that sometimes we're asked to do, is to suffer a little and to be faithful and be faithful to others so that you can be an encouragement. So he says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. I for one, when I was in the Air Force, I did not get married at the time because I felt like that I had a commitment to the Lord, and that it was necessary that I be faithful with other, with whatever ministry the Lord wanted me to take on. I didn't find it to be, you know, so difficult that I couldn't get through it. I found the Lord was by my side all the way through it. And I feel like that Timothy and the Apostle Paul, and as well as some others that were part of this ministry, were willing to do whatever it took to be able to do what was needed in the ministry. So I think Paul, at least during this time period, was not being encouraged to have a wife and be married, but rather that his time was going to be taken up with sharing the truth with Timothy and with others. So they give examples of different types of work. The soldier is somebody that might fight in a battle and even have to protect or keep others. And so that may not have been what the Apostle Paul thought it was going to be. It's what it turned out to be, and he had that willing heart to do whatever the Lord needed him to do, and to remain faithful until his ministry was completed. So he says in verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yea, is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So these masteries might be the type of work that he was doing. It may just be where he was ministering, like in a prison. Or if he was running in a race, like a track meet or a cross-country runner. But he does say, if you run this race and you decide to do it, that you have to do it lawfully. And you can't win the crown except you strive lawfully. In other words, you can't take any shortcuts. You can't be looking for an easy way out. You have to be looking for ways in which you can serve, and then serve so that you are an asset to the Lord and the Apostle Paul and to Timothy. So the next person that they mention is in verse 6, where it says the husbandman. That is somebody like a farmer who maybe plants crops or has, animals to watch over, protect. And so there was another requirement made on them to be able to do that work, that type of work, and be well rewarded for it. It goes on to say the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. There were examples in the Old Testament where if these people were working in a field and it was time to bring in the crops, that they were to be partakers of some of the crops to keep their strength up, to be able to do the work. So that was a requirement, that they made sure that the people that were doing the work were also being fed and provided for. He says to be first partakers of the fruits, if you don't eat, you have an excellent chance of becoming sick or not being able to work. So it was necessary that they continue to partake of food and water to be able to serve those others who had needs. And so that's what they did. He goes on to say in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed, that he became the sin offering, and we also know he was qualified to be the king and to be a servant and also to be able to be their God. So that's why the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ being of the seed of David, which also was in the Old Testament, a king. David was a king. And so he was in that same lineage as the Lord Jesus Christ. David was also a king, but he wasn't king over all. He was only king over Israel. But later on, he was going to be involved with us as body members. But that fact that he was qualified, you had to be willing to do it, to do that type of work, and you also had to have the means to be able to do it, and he had both of those things. Verse 9 says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That's somebody who suffers trouble, perhaps is cast into prison, and suffers there being falsely accused, being accused of an evildoer, even though he was really doing the Lord's work and doing God's work. And as a result, it was necessary that he take it, that he go ahead and serve the sentence as of someone who did something wrong, even though he didn't. But he goes on to say, but the word of God is not bound. So he was cast in prison and not free to be able to go every place he might want to, when he wanted, whether he was restricted to being in that prison, to where he could go and what he could say. Verse 10 says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Not everyone is willing to do that, and not everyone is willing to suffer like that. We think with the Lord's help, we can do whatever needs to be done with his help if it's his desire that we serve in a very similar manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ did and Paul did and Timothy did, as well as some of the other saints that were there. He goes on to say in verse 10, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We know that we are going to enjoy the heavenly places. And we also know that that will be a glorious place. And we also know that it will be a place where we can serve and be faithful to the Lord and used by him to accomplish the work that needed to be completed. He gets on to say that they may also obtain the salvation. By the way, when we serve the word salvation, we always know that it's saving us from a certain situation and then saving us to a certain situation. So both those things are necessary, that we realize that we've been saved for a reason, for a purpose, for a plan, and we must also know what we've been saved from and what we're going to be saved to, which is being a servant, as unto the Lord, but also to be someone who works with the Lord, someone who is assigned jobs to do, obligations, and then these men like Timothy and the Apostle Paul were willing to do that, whatever it took. And they had other responsibilities other than just the problems that they had individually, but they also were bound to and cast into prison sometimes just so they could be in company with these other body members who needed help. It goes on to say, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's just important that we know that there's more than one salvation that's referred to, especially in Paul's epistles, and what the Lord has in plans for those saints who have believed in Him and taken Christ as their Savior. He goes on to say, Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So that's another thing that we need to realize, that with the enduring and with some of the issues and problems, that we also were going to receive a crown of righteousness to those who are faithful. So that crown is something that can be lost if we choose not to suffer in such a way that they made another choice or a different choice. So he goes on to say, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him. And obviously you can't be dead and alive at the same time in being in a human body. But it is something that we can do if we are willing, if it is our lot in life to suffer. And we know the Apostle Paul felt that way, that he could and would die for the Lord if the opportunity came up. So he says also, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. So this living or dying, either way, we can be assured that the Lord will bless us and use us however He can to lift up the Lord's name and His glory. He goes on to say, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Either way, whether we live or whether we die, either way, if we're doing it for Him, for His service, the Lord can use us and bless us for that. If we're willing, if we're able, and if we desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ by how we're living, by how we're conducting ourselves. He says in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. This reigning is very, very important. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. I don't think that it means that that's a permanent situation. I do think it means that if you have work to do and you back away from that and you decide not to serve, but rather to reject what the Lord wanted him to do, it says he also will deny us. So you're saved, you have life in his name, and you are a body member, but you may or may not receive all that the Lord wants to give to those who are faithful and willing and desirous to serve. 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We had a discussion a year or so ago about whether Judas Iscariot was actually saved. We know he was chosen to be one of the apostles. But we also know that he, when the time came, he was willing to deny the Lord and actually put a kiss of death on him. So we know that he had to be replaced. And he had to be dismissed. He lost his bishopric or his job as being one of the treasurers. And in helping the Lord in other ways. And so it was going to be a big loss. He was going to be part of one of the 12 tribes, and he actually lost that position. And the Lord had to choose Matthias to replace him. So it is it's the kind of thing I think that we need to think about from time to time. Think about what the Lord is charging us with. See how willing we are, how faithful we want to be in our service unto him. So he says, of these things put them, well, let's say 14 says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Sometimes we think we're helping others with our witness and with the examples that we're setting. And if we fail, others are caused to fail and stumble also because of not remaining faithful. So something just to think about, knowing that we're on the same we belong to the same church, and that we are chosen members, and we can suffer a loss depending on what we do with our choices. Obviously, the Lord wants to reward all those that are his, but there's some that are become disapproved or unqualified that can well lose a position. And that's what that little thought comes back into view when we don't get the idea that we only have to be, proved one time and we're not never going to be tested again. That's just not the case. We can be used however the Lord wants to use us. He says in verse 15, this verse here is a verse that if you don't have it memorized, it should be. It says study, and that means to be diligent. It just doesn't mean to spend 15 minutes reading, but rather it means to take this as a serious task that we need to perform in order to be, what it says, to be approved unto God. We need to remind ourselves from time to time we're not seeking other people's opinion or their approval, but rather we're serving the Lord God, and we are going to have to stand before him and be judged in such a way as whether we, it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that, there again, it's another example of where you could be ashamed if you don't follow through with the commitment, if you don't follow through with the commands, and if you don't desire to continue to serve in a way that pleases the Lord. That's who we're really serving. And he is our judge, and he can judge us accordingly. It goes on to say, and now be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And, you know, we can never trick God. We can't do things halfway and have him say, oh, that's good enough. That's not the way he works. He has demands. He has commands that he places on us. And it's a way of testing us to see if we're worthy, to see if we can be trusted with greater plans. He goes on to say, he's rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's the word of God. That's really who we're ultimately accountable to. And he ultimately will judge us according to his word. Verse 16 says, but shun profane and vain babblings. These are a couple of verses we just read prior to that. People sometimes like to argue and to try to change other people's opinions. And most of the time, if you think about it, the Lord wants unity. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to take care of each other. So as a result of that, all of that boils down to doing the right thing. Doing what God wants us to do. He says 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. I believe it's if we think about that, that's normally Satan. It's the one getting involved in this type of behavior and trying to cause arguments or divisions or things that just aren't pleasing unto the Lord. It says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doeth a canker. I've heard this explained, this word canker, as being a cancer. And again, it could be many cancers are life-threatening and actually cost us our health. And it's way that particular disease grows and multiplies, and perhaps puts us in a position where we're no longer worthy of being able to serve the Lord in the same manner in which we had been doing previously. He says, "On whom is Arminius and Philetus?" So these were a couple men who ending up losing their health. Whether it was cancer or whether it was some other disease, we know that it was going to cause a change in plan with the Lord. It is interesting when we read about these scriptures, especially here in Timothy, about where you have the people that are unwilling to suffer. And suffer for the service to the Lord, to Paul, to Timothy. We also know that as a result of that, that they could be rewarded and healed. Although the healing process is not something that was really handled in the same way as it was during the Acts times. Verse 18 says, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. If you would get a good orator to get you to believe a lie, that you were going to be healed, but in fact they weren't going to be healed, then they could cause others to suffer and cause divisions. And so that was wrong. If we remember, the Lord wants us to stick together. He wants us to love one another, to take care of one another. So if Satan or one of his minions can cause us to stumble or fall, then it could overthrow the faith of some. Some others might be a little weaker, and their perseverance isn't quite as strong. Verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Once a Lord applies through the Holy Spirit the seal, they are moved to a different level, I think, of seriousness and of living and of caring how they. Well, it's like anything else. If you have responsibilities to someone else, and if you fail to follow those instructions, then there's an excellent chance that you're going to cause someone else to stumble and fall. So he says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His," and just like we found with Judas Iscariot, he didn't really lose his life, but rather he lost his position as the treasurer. That's what he was removed from, because he couldn't or wouldn't be faithful to the Lord, and went ahead and testified against him, and then set him up to be crucified. Although that was going to be his job in the future anyway, is to become the sin offering, to become sin. And Christ was going to die for all those who have sinned. And as a result of that, he lost his own life. But he was resurrected again. He said, "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." What it amounts to is counting the cost of whatever it is that you're struggling with, and if you've been talked into going against the Lord's will, then perhaps you might want to rethink that, because you may suffer loss and lose your position. So he goes on to say in verse 20, "Nevertheless, foundation of God," in verse 19, "stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold." These are positions that have high value, that appear to be more beautiful and more important. He said, not only vessels of gold, if you were going to put out fine wine, then you put it in a vessel that's suitable for the wine that you are going to partake of. He goes on to say, vessels of gold and silver, but also, and this is important to realize too, that there are other vessels, like trash cans, that are important. Where that's where used food, used things need to be consumed, and perhaps the things could be burned up, or they could be washed or reused. He says, but also of wood and of earth. Well, the earth in and of itself, even though it's beautiful, the Lord considers it to be good. But when it comes to silver and gold, those things hold a higher place of esteem, just because of what they're made of. He goes on to say, but also wood and of the earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And it doesn't mean the trash can is not honored. It just means it doesn't have the same position as in the vessels have gold and silver. So as a result, they were still able to be used, but just not honored in the same manner. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself of these different things that he's mentioned here, if you write and divide them, you can kind of understand which ones are considered to be given honor and to be used in a manner that was more sanctified, as I said here in a minute. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That word sanctified has the idea of setting something apart. And you're setting this vessel in a place of not as much honor. It might be like a dustpan or a mop on the floor. So as a result of that, you may not hold the same self-esteem, but still necessary. So sanctified means to be set apart from something and then set apart to something. And there's always both things that need to be considered. He says, it's honored, sanctified, and meet or qualified for the master's use. And prepared into every good work. So even though it might be a role of a position, if it was a vessel that needed to be approved for the master's use, then it would be used that way. 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them the call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's so important that we have, that we do things for the right reason and that we don't try to deceive or trick others in our actions. Verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. These types of questions that are just meant to trick us and to get our minds off the truth of what the Lord wants us to know and understand, the enemy causes the divisions to cause he says, knowing that they do gender strife. So if you see yourself getting into an argument, and there's some way that you can avoid it, perhaps that's a better path to take. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, or not only qualified to teach, but have a desire to want to teach, to be patient, and in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We know that the Lord is very forgiving, and we know that He likes to and desires to forgive. And this idea of repentance is something that we sometimes need to go through so we can learn. And if we have a change of heart, and if we desire to fix or improve that situation that we were in, there can be rewards that are very valuable to the individuals and to those individuals who were involved in this disagreement. Our last verse that I'm going to share is in verse 26, and it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. In other words, if we can have a change of heart, whatever's going with the war in our mind and back and forth, then there's an excellent chance that we would desire to forgive even the devil. I always thought that was interesting that Paul said that he was going to turn that over to the devil, so that he could be judged in that manner, in that way. And if the person were willing to have a change of heart and to stop, the disagreement that they were getting involved with, then there was an excellent chance that the Lord could and would forgive them so that they would all be at peace. He goes on to say, who are taken captive by him at his will, that is the devil. And Satan just delights in causing other people to suffer and to be in a situation where they need to make some changes and allow the Lord to enter into their heart and help them to change the disagreement, whatever that might be. Okay, looks like it's about 17 after 9, and so that's probably as far as I need to go tonight, and hopefully I'll be able to share again on this subject perhaps the next time we meet together. So God bless each one of you. We trust that this has been profitable, that there has been some lessons that are learned, because we all make mistakes, and we all can, from time to time, have to ask for forgiveness or to. By the way, the person who holds the grudge, who doesn't want to forgive, that person is actually hurt more than the person who wasn't given the forgiveness. So something to be aware of. Satan doesn't care as much about the believer as the Lord does. The Lord loves us, cares about us, willing to die for us. And so as a direct result, we can be removed from that curse that Satan tries to put on us by putting us in a mindset where we're not as forgiving as he is. And we are to forgive as we have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important that we do that, the sooner the better. So with that, I am going to sign off. And I trust that this was profitable, and that there's some lessons that are open up to each of us as we continue to live this life and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So with that, I am going to sign off. Thanks again for listening. May God continue to bless each of us as he sees fit. For it's in his name we pray. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.